Brother Dan Makuka will now consider the next part of this symposium, Avoid Sowing to the Flesh, Fight the Spirit of Envy.
We certainly appreciate the theocratic family that we belong to. And so, like a family, we're interested in each other's well-being, and we're quick to come to the aid of anyone who might be suffering for one reason or another. But how do we feel if the reverse happens? Let's say our brother is not facing a difficulty, but is rather enjoying increased privileges or blessings, or even material prosperity. The proper attitude to have was mentioned by the Apostle Paul in Romans 12 and 15, where it counsels us to rejoice with those who rejoice. So that's the right attitude to have, but we might struggle with feelings of envy, and herein a danger exists, because envy can lead to other emotional qualities that are not positive, feelings of resentment over the things that others have. We might want what they have for ourselves. Maybe it's that new car or new home or that new theocratic privilege that they're enjoying. James shows that we have an inherent disposition toward envious longing, and he provides the warning for us. I invite you to go to James chapter 4 and verse 5. Or do you think that for no reason, the scripture says, the spirit that has taken up residence within us keeps envious longing? Yes, this enviously longing can take up residence within us. In other words, it's part of our imperfect nature that we have. So we're going to have to deal with it when it comes up. And so Galatians 5 and 21 refers to envy as one of those works of the flesh. And the title of this part is appropriately called Avoid Sowing to the Flesh, Fight the Spirit of Envy. Well, what can help in this fight? We're going to look at two Bible examples, one who gave in to feelings of envy and another who did not, although he experienced it himself. These examples will show us that it is possible to control this fleshly urge and avoid this spirit of enviously longing at things that others have. In fact, Jehovah wants us to control it. So the first example is that of Cain. Well, what did Cain envy? Genesis chapter 4, 3 to 5 gives us the answer, whereas it shows that Jehovah was looking with favor on Abel's sacrifice of firstlings of his flock, but with Cain's sacrifice of fruit, he did not look with favor upon it. So a rational person here would think, okay, I see what Jehovah wants here. I'm going to make the adjustment, offer the proper sacrifices. And in fact, Jehovah even took the time to tell Cain that all that was needed for him was to turn to doing good, and he would again have Jehovah's favor. Cain didn't listen. He allowed this spirit of envy to control him. And what fruits did it produce? You'll notice in verse 6 it mentions that Cain was angry and dejected. So envy wasn't leading to anything good. It was leading him to do something that would turn out to be completely irrational, that of murdering his brother. So what should have initially been a fairly easy course correction to make here wasn't made. And it had disastrous consequences. Cain allowed envy to control him, and it produced the fruits that resulted. Well, how can we avoid the example of Cain and turn to doing good? Well, rather than succumbing to feelings of envy, why not unselfishly work at doing things for others? In other words, we turn our thinking outward, instead of inwardly being concerned about ourselves and our feelings, as Cain was. One of the best things that we can do for others is preaching and teaching work that we've been assigned to do. Now, the second example, happily, had a more positive outcome, but the initial problem was still very serious. Well, what was the problem? Asaph envied the wicked who seemed to enjoy this problem-free life. Turn to Psalm 73 and verse 3, please. Psalm 73 and verse 3, and you'll notice the problem with his thinking. For I became envious of the arrogant when I would see the peace of the wicked. What was Asaph's problem here? Well, he was thinking that the wicked enjoyed this problem-free existence. Nothing was bothering them. They did what they wanted, and they didn't have to answer to anyone. So he was starting to become envious of this. Now, he came to his senses, thankfully. He, upon reflection, saw that they didn't have something that he had, and it was the most important thing that they should have been pursuing. You'll notice in verse 28 of Psalm 73, "But as for me, drawing near to God is good for me. I have made the sovereign Lord Jehovah my refuge to declare all your works." A couple of points that we want to consider here. You'll notice that he recognized the importance of his relationship with Jehovah. Did the wicked have that? Absolutely not. And so if they didn't change, what future did they have? And then the other point here, to declare all your works. He was involved in doing something positive that helped to take his mind off of this and to work at doing good for Jehovah. So Asaph cherished his relationship with Jehovah. He enjoyed what the verse says, this drawing near to God. So although the wicked seemed to be enjoying some material blessings or advantages at the time, Asaph cherished what he had. And so he continued to think about that and adjust his thinking. Well, what's the lesson for us? Well, we can cultivate contentment by focusing on the blessings that we receive, rather than in comparing ourselves to others or what benefits they might have. We want to continue to attend Christian meetings, benefit from the association that we have with one another. Galatians 6 and 4 makes an important point. It says to avoid the spirit of competition. This can be a problem because it's so prevalent today, and we might have grown up thinking that we have to compete with everybody. We competed with our classmates, maybe we competed with our siblings. So this was part of our nature. But as we matured, we realized we have to let that go, that that is not the right way. And so we adjusted our thinking. We didn't give in to this, and that's commendable. And so Christians realize that we want to do the best we can. It's true in every activity, but we do so not for self-glorification, but rather to the honor of Jehovah and to benefit others who might benefit from our preaching, our teaching work, and so forth. Sometimes it helps to think of things this way. We talked earlier about our brotherhood being like a family. So if one family member enjoys blessings, does not the whole family benefit from that? Sure it does. The Apostle Paul even talked about our unity in even more intimate terms. He compared us as belonging to one body. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 26, he said, "If a member is glorified, all the members rejoice with it." So what a contrast to the religious leaders of the day. They envied Jesus because he enjoyed the favor of the people, and their envy was related to their own desire for prominence, and they had this competitive spirit. And what great sin did their envy lead them to commit? Killing the Son of God. So we can see the disastrous consequences there. We want to follow Jesus' course, not theirs. We want to measure ourselves not by comparing ourselves to others, but trying to do the best we can in Jehovah's service. Let's look in on a demonstration. A young pioneer couple, Cole and Olivia, have just finished hosting another pioneer couple for a meal. The guests have recently returned from an expensive vacation, and what's more, they've even moved into a new home. So let's listen.
I'm glad we had Brother and Sister Bailey over. Things really seem to be going well for them.
You can say that again. They're pioneers like us, and I have no idea how they keep up with that lifestyle. Maybe it's all those rich friends they seem to find.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. I guess I'm just not good at getting into the right circles.
Uh-oh. Can you sense the spirit of envy starting up in this conversation? How might Cole and Olivia have fought that? Let's give them another chance.
I'm glad we had Brother and Sister Bailey over. Things really seem to be going well for them.
You can say that again. They're pioneers like us, and I have no idea how they keep up with that lifestyle. Maybe it's all those rich friends they seem to find.
Well, honey, I can see why you feel that way, but I'm trying to look at our situation a little bit differently.
What do you mean?
Well, as servants of Jehovah, we're not in a competition with anyone else, and instead of feeling hurt over things we don't have, we should appreciate the blessings that we do enjoy, like the joy that comes from having a full share in the ministry and keeping our eyes focused on spiritual things.
You're right. I guess I just lost sight of what's truly important. We're free to serve Jehovah fully because we don't have any debt, and we're hoping to go to the school for Kingdom Evangelizers.
Exactly. Let's keep working hard towards our spiritual goals.
So as imperfect humans, we can't completely eliminate that spirit that keeps enviously longing any more than we can eliminate every weed from the garden or, as mentioned earlier, every dandelion from the lawn. However, we can avoid sowing the seeds of envy in our heart. With God's help, we can fight the spirit of envy and ultimately defeat it.